Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You may have heard this story about the amount of people who are on the dole for more than 10 years. So figures provided to Ain't Too leader Padder Tobin show 6,329 people have been claiming social welfare, like job seekers allowance, job seekers payments for 10 years or more. And the figure comes despite Ireland's unemployment rate standing at just 5%, which is considered full employment, by the way. We still have 145,000 people currently out of work at a time when we have employers in many sectors continuing to report labour shortages, and they say they just can't get the staff. So we have a strong economy, loads of jobs available. Why are 6,300 people on long-term unemployment for over a decade? Are there persistent barriers like health, skills, age or caring responsibilities that are stopping people return to work? Or does the social welfare system need reform to try and better encourage people to get into the workplace? Well, Ain't Too leader Padder Tobin joined News Talk Breakfast this morning.
There are many times in a worker's life whereby they might lose a job or they might be looking for a job for a period of time. But 10 years is absolutely ridiculous. And actually, if you dig down to the figures, 30,000 people have spent more than 5 years straight on job seekers, which adds up to nearly 1.9 billion euros of a cost as well.
Now, you can call us on 1-800-453-106 if you have a view on that. First, we're going to go to Louise Bayliss, who's head of social policy, social justice and policy at St. Vincent de Paul. Afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon, Shane.
What was your reaction when you heard this figure today from Padder Tobin? 6,300 people unemployed for 10 years or more.
Yeah, I think we need to be very careful about not scapegoating everybody on social welfare or on job seekers. I mean, if you look at the figures, 6,000 seems a lot, but it's 6,000 out of about 145,000 people. It's about 4%. 96% of people aren't there for 10 years. The other side is there are people who have real issues very distant from the workforce. And one of the cases that I always think about is when I was a support worker, I dealt with this young guy who had grown up in care, had a very, very complex childhood. As a result, he'd missed a lot of school. He got into a lot of teenage little misdemeanors, but, you know, had a criminal record, but nothing violent, nothing whatever, just really not being guided properly. And I was working with him and he got a job. Oh, no, he didn't. He got a property. He got his own house, apartment. And I said to him, now that you're in your apartment, will we look about seeing if we can refer you to a system to get you education or, you know, training and with the idea that you'll get a job? And he looked at me as if I had 10 heads, as if I was stupid. And he said to me, and the guy was only 21. He said, Louise, I have a criminal record and I'm not able to read or write. Do you honestly think I'll ever get a job? 21 and his life had been written off, and he could see that. And it was an eye-opener for me because I hadn't even thought that. I hadn't been brought up that way, didn't consider that. There are people who are very distant from the workforce and there aren't the supports there to bring them in. The other point I would make out is one of the groups, you know, I'm very concerned about are lone parents. And many lone parents have become lone parents because of some trauma, whether it's a bereavement, whether it's domestic violence, or whether it's a separation. They're all trauma. And for those, there are many cases, they're left minding children at home. And you stay at a home all day, every day with your child, your confidence goes to it falls. You become very distant from the skill force, the labour force. And actually the idea of even applying for a job just becomes overwhelming.
So would it be the case with the lack of confidence? They're just out of the game so long.
Oh, completely, completely. Lack of confidence and lack of skills. But before they even get to the skills, it's lack of confidence. And one family has run a course for 20 years. It's two decades. It's called New Futures. And it was an 8-month course. It costs about 2,500 per participant, and 75% of those people end up going into further training or else into a job. Huge success rate, 2,500. And that funding is gone. They're not going to be able to run it unless they get urgent funding, that type of thing. We need to look at what are the barriers facing it. Is it a criminal record? Is it lack of confidence? And providing people with the support. Everybody wants full employment. Everybody will feel better working. And social inclusion would increase if people were doing it. But rather than vilify people who haven't worked for 10 years, look at the reason why. Because 10 years on social welfare is 10 years living in poverty. Nobody's choosing that. They're caught in a trap.
Okay, stay with us. Shane Gleeson is with me, who runs 5 spar shops in Limerick City. Good afternoon to you, Shane. We've heard Louise making the case for some of those who are long-term unemployed. It's also true to say that there are an awful lot of jobs that can't get filled right now that could be filled by people on social welfare.
There absolutely are. I would say that every employer I know is short of staff at the moment, whether it's even the carpenters, the plumbers, the fitters coming into me in the shop every day. There's a very big shortage of apprentices taking on those positions. They're starting it, finding out they don't like the work or they're not used to physical work and they're walking away. In my experience, there's work for nearly everybody who's willing to work. We've certainly had people who've come in from abroad, been in the country less than 24 hours, and we've started them working. So I think there's plenty of work out there. Not everybody wants to do the kind of job we have.
Yeah.
Our start is 6 a.m. And frequently I meet people at the counter, I ask them if they're interested in coming for an interview. Once I mention it's a 6 a.m. start, I'm getting, well, I wouldn't do that. So that there's maybe a bit of snobbery involved in they wouldn't do shop work or something.
Right.
Or maybe it's just the early start, I don't know. But well, your previous caller is 100% correct. I think education is the key for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I see the long-term unemployed coming in out of the shop and I'd know them by first name. And I think a lot of them are in a rut.
Yes.
And what it would about, be good to see the change.
What about Louise was given the example there of a young lad she knew, 21 years of age, who has a criminal record. Would you give him a job in your shop?
It would depend what the criminal record is for. If it was for theft, no. I just have to be honest about it. I'm a long time in the retail game now, and honesty is something you can't. I've just seen it go wrong too often. I have given people choice or chances before, and that hadn't worked out well for me at all.
Right.
So I'd be very slow if it was that. But if it was something else, certainly.
Yeah.
I have employed people before with that would have had issues.
Yeah. Just while I have you, I want to do the maths on this. Roughly, ballpark, if someone got a full-time job in a shop starting out, roughly what would they be getting a week?
You'd be roughly 600.
Right. And the social welfare for job seekers allowance is €254 a week. So no one's getting rich off this.
They're not, no. But at the same token, I do see people who are on social who seem to have plenty of money. I don't know how or why or what additional supports may be available. I have no idea the detail. I do see people that seem to be doing just fine in it. But I don't understand where the money comes from then to lead the lifestyle.
But you can't be doing fine on €254 a week in Ireland. Like, we're so expensive to live here.
No, I don't know how you can feed yourself in that kind of money. You know, how you buy clothes or pay your bills.
Yeah,
I can't see how you could survive.
By the way, I'd love to talk to someone who has been long-term unemployed, maybe more than 10 years. Please get in touch with us. You can call us 1-800-453-106 or email lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, because I'm conscious in this conversation, you're probably sick of hearing people demonising you or talking about you and not to you. So we'd love to hear your perspective on it. Now, we have Karen with us as well. And Karen, we spoke to you here on Lunchtime Live in relation to social housing. Well, you're on the carer's allowance. Is there a stigma about the way we talk about people in receipt of social welfare payments?
Yeah, I've been looking at comments online, actually. If you go back on the podcast from the last time we talked online, there's a lot of comments on it. They call people leeches. They call people names. They say this, that and the other. It's not just carers. I go back to 2003 or more. I used to work. And I had to give up work because I became a full-time carer. I've got 3 kids out of 4 with special needs, and they're not children anymore, they're adults, and one is quite sick at the minute. And I had to look after my parents. So it's a family thing that when there's no supports available, you have to give up working. You have no choice. you have to look after those people 24/7. I have one child with autism. He could run out in the road, and he's an adult now. He does stupid things still, and excuse the way I say it. But it's to a stage where people do stigmatise you. They stigmatise people on lone parents.
Well, hold on, just for a second. Surely you don't feel people are judging you on a carer's allowance, do you?
Oh, yeah, you should hear the stuff. Like, even, you know, when the government put out a new thing about budgets?
Yeah.
And you can see online what's been put. People are stigmatising everyone. They're painting you with the same brush. And, like, I don't care what people say. They do it. It's not just them. It's people on lone parents. It's the same with job seekers. The reason some people end up in job seekers is if they have to quit their job to care for somebody, you cannot get carer's allowance automatically. It's not given to you. You have got to go on a lesser payment till you have to say, look, I'm looking for work, but I'm still caring. Do you get my drift? So it's not everybody. There is people that sit in the backside who will not get jobs, who have been doing it for years. I've been on this payment since 2003. And I'd no choice but to go on it. Now, I would have been half-rate carers, and now I'm on disability. I'm on disability because I'm ill myself. And I was looking at a comment online, someone literally, you know, why are you on carers? How did you get carers? How did you get disability? Jeez, I wouldn't love to. I'd love to work. I'd love a job where I can get out my bum, as I just say, and go into a job. But, you know, when you're in pain 24/7, if you can't speak, if you've got FND, my son's FND, and he's looking for a job. He's out there looking for a job as we speak. And I know another person
We are told there's a rake of jobs out there.
I have an 18-year-old who applied for numerous jobs and hasn't got one email back in the last 3 years. She's been doing it since she was 16. I know another girl that I was speaking to the other day who was at the end of her tether crying. And these are students who are coming out of school, and they're looking for jobs.
What type of work are they looking for?
Anything, like cafes, Smith's Toys, everywhere. But what they're being told, especially in cafes, is you don't have enough experience. So give them the job, train them up, give them the experience. I know one of them who's a barista. She's got the certificates through UReach, which is great. I have to say, UReach is a great place for kids. They train them up in all aspects. They give them hair and beauty. They do barista. They do different things with them. They're fantastic. And they do that with them and put them out into the world. And still they can't get a job. Like, I went to Fos. I don't know if you remember Fos.
Yes.
Years ago, I left school to get a job because we'd a big family. My dad worked, my mum worked, everybody worked. And I left school to work because school wasn't for me. Now, I did go back in my 30s and do my leaving on my junior. And I passed. So it just shows you, I went to work, and what happened was I didn't like it that much because it was hours during the day. It was only 2 hours a day. That's not enough for me to earn anything, 3 hours a day. So I went into Fos at the time. Fos trained people up and gave them life skills. You did painting and decorating. You did cement work. You did bricklaying. You did everything there. Tiffany Glass. They did all that. But then they closed them down.
Right.
Monochrome, sauce, everything. So there's nothing for our students to do to get a job.
We're getting a huge reaction on text. Stay with us as well, Karen, and stay listening. Director of the Irish National Organisation for the Unemployed, the INOU, Breed O'Brien is with me. Good morning, or good afternoon, Breed.
Good afternoon, Jane.
Now, I want to give you some text to get your reaction to this because there's a lot of people getting in touch. One says, I know serial job seeker dependents who've been on the dole since the 80s. They still manage to go on at least 2 foreign holidays a year and maintain a car that's less than 3 years old. They're experts in scamming the system. Our taxes are paying for their chosen lifestyle. Noel in Dublin says, it's not just the people on the dole playing the system. Noel alleges it's also people who are on the sick and who are getting the carer's allowance. I have family members fully fit for work and are carers for each other due to being sick decades ago. The social welfare isn't checking it, just left to play the system. Someone else says a lot of people on long-term social welfare just don't want to work. It's a fact that the bleeding heart society won't admit. They know how to work the system so they can claim as much benefits as they can and end up with a sustainable income without needing to work. Two other messages for you. It doesn't pay some people to work. They lose their rent allowance, fuel allowance, medical card. If they get a new council house, they get $5,000 to furnish it while the working man gets nothing. And also, someone says, my brother and his wife are both on social welfare for over 10 years. They live in a council house and both work for a fast food outlet. backlash, who pays cash? It's happening wholesale. Loads more messages coming in. You can keep those coming in. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Breed, that's just a flavour. Are you surprised to hear that reaction from our Lunchtime Live listeners?
I'm not, no. That's invariably the reaction when stories like this are in the media. People will have examples, people they know. Some people they might indeed know their personal circumstances. In other cases, they might not. Some people can be on a welfare payment and working, and the system knows they're in the system and they're doing it legitimately. The system, you know, they do follow up on people, they do inspect with people. But I suppose we also hear from the other side, from people who have, as Karen said, who have applied for jobs, hear nothing back at a time when employers, as the employer you had on earlier said, you know, people are looking for employees. And we did a few years back some focus groups of young people, and I was very struck in one small town where we did the focus group, and these young people were only in their mid-teens, and their sense was because of the family they were from, the community they were from, the part of the town they were from, because maybe they'd gotten into bits of trouble, that they were already written off. And I remember thinking the only hope they probably had was going living somewhere else where maybe nobody knew them, where their, you know, their background and all that wouldn't, nobody be aware of them, and they could maybe get an opportunity on their own merits.
Right.
And they're probably the last people who will be emigrating, who will be going places, because they won't have the confidence, they won't have the education, and they won't have the experience. A few years back, I was at an event where a senior official from the Department of Social Protection asked a very interesting question. She asked everybody in the room who had gotten work through a contact, either a friend or family, to stand up, and half the room stood up. And she made the point that for a lot of people who are long-term unemployed, who are on the margins of our labour market, they don't have those personal and family contacts, which are often critical to getting your foot in the door. We run a programme, two training programmes that are aimed at people who are long-term unemployed. And we've had people who, they're called Building Futures and Shaping Futures. They run kind of through the academic year. And we've had people on them who've been out of work for many years, maybe never worked, who at the end of the course either progressed onto further or higher education or were able to find work.
Well, that
so with the right supports in place and engaging with people and working through the issues that people are facing, you know, we can create more opportunities for people.
There's the evidence. A lot of it is about confidence as well, and maybe lacking confidence in yourself. And then if you get a bit of a boost with your confidence, it can do wonderful things in your future. Now, Sarah is on the line. You got in touch with us. Afternoon, Sarah.
Afternoon.
You were listening to our chat. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I was just like, I could say it from like a few points there, and I was just saying to your researchers there that I have a son who has a criminal record. Now, his criminal record is for violence, so he knows, I know, that he's not going to get a job in any kind of mainstream application process. They just wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't blame them for not doing it. So, like, you know, he's never going to have that opportunity to really work as an employee in an employed role. So he survived on social welfare.
Was he in prison?
Yes, he was in prison several times. So and that's happened from when he was young. He got in with a bad crowd, and you know, it kind of followed through. He never got out of the cycle of conviction, committing crime.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, he wouldn't be somebody who would be employable. Now, this is his fault. He takes complete ownership for how his life is. But for a period of time, because he never got a job, he actually dropped off the system. And this was, we was living in the UK at the time. And you know what I mean? So he wasn't getting any money. So ergo, he supported himself in other means.
Right.
But but for him, I wouldn't say anyone could ever employ him. So at the moment now, he's living on social welfare in the UK. It's very small amount compared to what people get in Ireland. They get £300 a month to live on, and he manages on that.
And 300 quid a month. I mean, England is quite expensive as well. Has he tried to get a job?
He's applied, but no one touches him.
Sorry, he has applied, but no one's come back to him, is that it?
Yes. Or he's gotten a job and somebody's found out about his history, been let go. Because obviously he would have. If he's honest, he doesn't get a look in. If he's dishonest and doesn't tell them and gets found out, he gets let go.
So what's
he can't turn his life around in that instant.
How old is he?
I've got five children, so she's 34.
34. So, I mean, it's pretty early in your life to be just written off. So what's his long-term plan? Is he just going to stay on social welfare then?
His long-term plan is he's actually going to college this semester. So he'll be going to college and he thinks he's going to turn his life around that way. What I think working for himself is his only alternative because he can't get employed and I wouldn't blame anyone for not employing him. Even though he's come away from crime. But it's very hard for him to survive on what he gets. But he manages it. He gets support from family, and I would send him a few dollars every so often. But, you know, that's just unfortunate in terms of his life choices. And I always say that part of that is to do with his upbringing. I mean, I was on social welfare. I have my children very young in the UK, and I always felt like I was a scrounger. I was taken from the state, and I was really conscious of that because you'd seen it in the Tony Blair times where they were telling, saying, you know, people scrounging. So you don't want to be on social welfare. You don't want to be going and collecting money. But I had young children. So I had no other recourse but to do that. But as soon as I was able to go to school and I didn't have to pay for childcare, I went out to work.
Nice.
And I work four jobs from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And I managed and I supported my kids. But the fact was, I wasn't always there to rear my kids either. That's why my son got into trouble. Out of the five of them, she's the one that got into trouble.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? So he kind of, we lived in a disadvantaged area. So that's how he got on that path.
Well, I think what we're getting from you is it's a lot more complex, certainly, Sarah. Thank you very much. One final guest on this, Donna from ecoplum.ie. You've been waiting patiently to speak to me. Thank you for waiting. So I'm not sure about this. I don't know if there are jobs or there aren't jobs out there because people are all messaging saying they're trying to get work and can't. And then I hear employers saying we're out the wazoo. So many jobs available.
Well, there's definitely work out there. I think definitely it depends where you're located geographically. I think perhaps in the city, it can be a little bit harder to get work. So maybe some practical things is they could get free travel as a possibility. By the way, I have a friend of mine down past Clonakilty here, and he's looking for somebody to give him a hand plastering with a view to maybe even becoming trained as a plasterer, and a lot of work on this guy wants to build a crew. So if anybody's listening and they're looking for a start as a learning to plaster, a young fella, give us a shout. Ecoplum.ie, give us a shout.
I might do it myself. It's great money in plastering. Great money.
Well, there's very few people doing it.
It's a real skill.
You can charge, you can be able to charge what you like in the future. You know, and we're seeing it across the board, actually, a lot of different things in the trades that they're dumbing down the materials to make the job easier as well. But just to go over to that as well, one of the biggest obstacles for employers, myself at the moment, even for me to take a guy on casual or a girl on casually, I mean, straight away, my PR, I have to pay PRSI payments, all that kind of thing, no problem there. But my accounting fees go up 100%. My insurance goes up 100%. If the government can take some lead to assist employers where they can cover the insurance, where they can cover the PSI for casual workers, somebody's dipping their toe in the water again. Suddenly they go, oh yes, a bit of money in my pocket, and yes, a bit of self-esteem, a bit of opportunities, a bit more exposure to the world. And they say, okay, maybe I'll take this a little bit further. And I think that's possibly can help people getting out of the rut, you know?
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, Donna, thank you very much. Ecoplum.ie, if anyone wants to be a plasterer and make an awful lot of money, you can get in touch with Donna. Thank you very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.